Thanks be to God.
Right.
I just need to move this Yorkie out of the way. Hold on. So, I'm very thankful to Joy for giving me this passage to speak on this morning. That was very thoughtful. No, we are going to look at this very difficult passage. Everybody acknowledges that this is a very difficult passage. All this week, I have seen just how many different scholars there are with just how many different ideas about exactly what this passage is talking about and what this passage means. So I will just be scratching the surface, if not skirting around a few issues. But if you want to know more, there's lots and lots and lots of reading out there that you can do. So feel free to study and catch up on it all yourself later. I think we need to say that before we start, that this, in all of this, it's got to be taken into context with all the rest of scriptures as well. And we need to say that we know that each one of us is precious and loved by God, and that's each one of us is created by God, and that's really, really important for us to bear in mind as a background to all of the stuff that we're going to talk about this morning. We're moving on in Corinthians. We've been looking at Corinthians, which is why we've ended up with this passage. I hope Joy just didn't lie and think, I'm going to really choose this one specially for Jackie to speak on. But we are working our way through Corinthians, and it is the word of the Lord. And sometimes we need to wrestle almost with the Bible. We need to be ready to look at it, to think about it, to pray about it, to work on it. It's not always easy that we just read, oh, God is love, that's nice. But sometimes we need to wrestle with it. And sometimes it's not even going to be a clear thing. And sometimes it's about holding two things together that we don't even understand exactly how they hold together. But somehow in God's kingdom, they do. So a little wrestling with this passage. So, yeah. Paul, in 1 Corinthians, Paul's moved on now to talking about the church. We've looked at various different things. And he's moved on now to addressing the people of God when they gather to worship together. And after this, next week, we're going to look at communion, how people should behave during communion and what that means. But this week, he's talking about men and women. And really, the point of the passage is that women should cover their head when they're praying or prophesying, and that men shouldn't cover their head when they're praying or prophesying. That is the main point of what Paul is trying to say. It might well be that the Corinthians have written to him, have raised the question with him of, oh, this is happening in our church. Because it is a mixed church. There's Jews, there's Gentiles, there's lots of people who are coming new to Christianity. And they're trying to work out, what does this mean? What does this look like to be the worshipping people of God? And so they have lots of questions, and there's lots of things that they're trying to sort out, what that should look like and what's the right thing to do. So it could be that somebody had asked him the question about this. Paul wasn't, of course, addressing the social issues that we face today. He was in a very, very different culture and a very, very different context than we are now. And we know ourselves that if we go and visit a different country, especially with a very different culture, then that can raise problems sometimes where you think, of course it's like this. This is the way everybody in the world sees this situation. And you can get somewhere else and you suddenly realize, oh, actually they see it a little bit differently than we do. Actually, that doesn't mean the same thing to them as it means to us. And we've even seen it, so you can sometimes it's more clear if there's a different language, but sometimes we even see it in language when it's the same language. So between Paul and me, so because Paul's American, my husband, and I'm British, then sometimes American people can say something and British people think they know what they're saying, but actually it can be a little bit different, or vice versa. So you can see culture, context makes a difference. And this is a culture of 2,000 years ago, and it's in Corinth, not in Britain. And it's very different. And yet we still have to search through scriptures to find out what are the things that are, because it was in that particular context, because it was in that particular culture. And what are the things that we have to hold on to as the truths that are timeless truths that God is teaching us and revealing to us through his word? And that's really, really important. So we can't just write it all off and say, oh, don't like that bit. We'll just ignore that bit of the Bible, shall we? So we can't just ignore things like that either. But some things will be, because it's in a different culture and a different context, will not be the same, exactly the same for us today. Yeah. So, for example, thinking about culture, thinking about our culture and things that are the normal things in our culture and abnormal, you would not go to a dinner party wearing your bathing suit. I shouldn't imagine. Most people wouldn't do that. Or you wouldn't go to a beach party dressed in your ball gown. So there's things that are social norms and things that we observe generally. I've got a few pictures here of interesting situations, not quite the social norm. You wouldn't wear your suit in a sauna, I presume. And one more. Kind of sticks out a little bit like a sore thumb if you're not according to the dress code, huh? But so that's the kind of idea of being aware of what's acceptable in society, what's not acceptable, what things we just take for granted so many times. So what is all of this head business about? Paul was having fun talking about heads because he was talking about real heads, covering our head, not covering our head. But then he goes off on one about the head. So Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of woman. God is the head of Christ. And he's talking there, obviously, not about real heads, but about metaphorical heads. So there's three different meanings. Rob, can we have the next PowerPoint, please? Okay, not that one. There should be another one before that one. 1 Corinthians 11, 3-6. Yeah, thank you. And then there should be one about heads. It's not a passage. Did you do that one, Paul? Okay, Paul didn't do that one. He didn't. I have a very helpful husband who, talking about roles of men and women. In our house, it's the man's role to do the PowerPoints for the service. And it works very well that way. Okay, but we forgot this one. Okay, so three different ways that you can see the word head, as well as meaning our heads, our actual heads. There's a head, which means prominence, as in the head of a mountain, the top of a mountain. Or you can take head as meaning authority. So the head of a company, who is the person in authority, the boss. Or you can take head as the word source, like the source of a river. We say the head of a river or a spring is the source. And the word that Paul used could mean all of those different things. So, of course, all the scholars have big discussions. I was reading Tom Wright's book, and he thinks there's a very good case to be made that in these verses, the word head means source. Because then Paul then goes on to talk about Genesis, and we'll have our Genesis verse. And in Genesis, it talks about how woman was made from man. It says that the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." And of course, we can't even look at these verses without the idea of, because it talks later about woman was made for man, not man for woman. God, for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So God decided to create woman. The word that it used for helper, we have to always say this every time we look at this passage, all right? Because men think, well, some men, I apologize. Some men think, you're my helper, okay? You're a woman, you're my helper. But the word that is used for helper in this passage is the same word that is used about God, how God is our very present help in times of trouble. So this is not a word of, you can't do the proper thing, you're just going to help. This is a word of, as God helps us, sustains, strengthens, helps us. That is the word that is actually used in the passage. And also, I wanted to point out that in the other verse that we've got in Genesis, that God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. So it's not saying man was made in the image of God and woman was some kind of afterthought. He's saying male and female, they were created, but woman was made from man. So that's what he's talking about with all of that stuff, okay, about heads. And yeah. So whatever the meaning of headship, obviously some people take it to mean something different in that context. And some people do believe that, you know, about as they believe, some people still believe women should cover their heads when they come to pray, actually, that that is a thing that God was saying, and that still remains until today. And people take this differently. But I thought that was, from reading all of the different scholars, I thought that was an interesting take on it. So whatever the meaning of headship, it's clear that Paul is not implying superiority and inferiority. He's not saying women are inferior, because he also says God is the head of Christ. And so we know that Christ is equal to God. In fact, we know that Christ is God. So he can't be talking about an inequality there. He says that God is the head of Christ. And we know what Jesus showed us. Jesus demonstrated servanthood. He was, in very nature, God, but he didn't hold on to that. He was willing to come and be a servant. And all the way through his ministry on earth, you'll see that he acknowledged his Father. He wanted to do his Father's will. He wanted to do what his Father was calling him to do. But he chose to do that. It wasn't that he had to do that. It wasn't that he was less able than God. It wasn't a hierarchy. But he chose to give himself to serve out of love. And I think that's a lot that we have to remember in this as well. What do we choose? Are we willing to serve, or are we like, no, as Isaac said to Mike, when Isaac recognized very early on, when he was about this big, that Paul and I were allowed to tell him what to do, but his big brothers and sisters, who thought they could boss him around, certainly weren't. And he used to say, you're not the boss of me. So he got that sorted out very quickly. But we can, with Jesus, it was about choosing to submit to the Father. Sorry, I need to find my place, or else I'll forget the important things. So, and also, Paul was not talking about every man being the head of every woman. He was talking to women. He says, man is the head of a woman, is the actual words that are used in the Greek. And he was talking about women in a dependent relationship with a man, so a husband or a father. But of course, in those days, it was very difficult to not be in a dependent relationship with a man, because again, the culture was very, very different. And it was very unusual to have just an independent woman who wasn't living at her father's house or living at her husband's house. So again, he's addressing a very, very different kind of culture. So in Ephesians, it also talks about wives submitting to husbands. I thought we have to mention that as well, because there are parts in the Bible where it talks about wives submitting to husbands. But there, as here, it also talks about husbands loving their wives like Christ loves the church and gave himself for her. And I think, again, that kind of submission, if you've got a man who's totally submitted to Christ and loving you and giving himself in the same way that Christ loves the church, then I think that we can say that submitting then is not actually a problem. So, yeah. And it is a working together, isn't it? And in Ephesians, Paul also talks about submit to one another. We have to take the bigger picture of scripture. So in other words, men will sometimes be submitting to women because we're submitting to one another. And why are we submitting to one another? Because we love Jesus, because each one of us has been saved by Jesus and we've become a part of this family, and we want to see God's kingdom coming. We want to be working together to see God's kingdom coming. That's why we're submitting to each other. So heads, covering. Why did this mean that men should not cover their heads when they prayed and women should cover their heads when they prayed? So in those days, in the Roman kind of culture that there was there in Corinth at the time, then men with their heads covered, I researched this and found that it was often linked with idol worship. So if men covered their heads, it could be linked with idol worship. Or also that meant men were from the social elite. And we looked last week, and I think we've looked before in Corinthians, about how a lot of the Corinthians were coming, because they were such a mixed bunch of people and were all new to coming to Christianity, a lot of the Corinthians were saying, oh, I'm important. I follow Apollos. I follow Paul. My way of doing things is more important. I'm more important. And I think it's suggested that Paul might be saying this, don't cover your heads, as a way of saying, we're not saying I'm elite. I'm from an important family. But in Christ, we're all equal. We're all the same. So men should not cover their heads. And women should cover their heads. Why should women cover their heads? In those days, it was normal for married women to cover their heads when they were out in public. And if you uncovered your head, then it was a sign either of saying that you were promiscuous, that you were trying not to be married, or that maybe you were on the lookout for some nice guy. Okay, so it was very, very dishonoring. It was very dishonoring for a woman's husband if she decided to uncover her head. Also, the idea that in those days, women who didn't cover their heads were prostitutes. And there were lots of prostitutes around in those days, temple prostitutes, all kinds of prostitutes. It was a very promiscuous society. And so there was also the idea that if you uncovered your head, then you were a prostitute. And again, Tom Wright talks about maybe Paul had been teaching this new church at Corinth, and maybe he'd said to them this thing that he said in Galatians. Have we got that slide, Rob? Did I put that one down? Galatians, yeah. There is neither Jew nor female, not Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So maybe Paul had been teaching them this, and the Corinthian women were thinking, fantastic. We have freedom in Christ. We can do what we like. And maybe uncovering their heads in the worship was a sign of that freedom. They felt it was a sign of that freedom. Or maybe they felt like now we can be like the men. If we uncover our heads, they uncover their heads. I mean, we can uncover our heads if we're in Christ. So this is not definite. These are suppositions. These are guesses of what might be going on in that situation. But these are from scholars who know an awful lot more about this stuff than we do. So Tom Wright says maybe that's what had been going on. Maybe they got this teaching and they were expressing their freedom in this way. These women were expressing their freedom in this way. And Paul is saying to them, like we looked at last week as well, we have freedom in Christ, but that doesn't mean we can just do whatever we want to do, because we're not just thinking about us, we're thinking about other people. It could be that when the women were uncovering their heads in the worship time, that it was really distracting for other people. It could be that it just was distracting people and it was stopping people from focusing on God and worshipping God, which is what they were supposed to be there for. Or it could be, if there were outsiders looking in, these guys were supposed to be a witness to the rest of society, and they would have been very different from the rest of society. But they needed to bear in mind, what are other people going to think? If I behave like this, what are other people from outside going to think? Are they going to think that everybody, all these Christians are prostitutes? Are they going to think that all these Christians are promiscuous? What are they going to think? People had some pretty weird ideas about what Christians did, actually. And there's some strange things they said about the early church that they didn't understand what was going on. So Paul's saying, don't just think about you. You've got freedom in Christ, but use the freedom carefully and out of a place of love and thinking about other people as well. And I think that's really, really important for us today still. So today, we don't have that in our society, do we? That idea that women should cover their heads. And the whole thing that he talks about, short hair, long hair, it's natural for men to only have short hair and women to have long hair. I think if we have a look around, we know that that's not natural, as in nature. Men can grow their hair long, women can cut their hair short. It was natural in that culture at the time. So, yeah. So, there's then a very, very strange and difficult verse, which is the 1 Corinthians 11, verse 10. It is for this reason that a woman ought to have authority over her own head, because of the angels. Now, I can tell you that basically nobody really knows what that verse means. In the things I've read, people are like, oh, this is one of the most difficult verses in the Bible to actually understand what he's talking about. But there was the idea at the time, and in the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found scrolls which talked about when people gathered to worship, it's not just people, but angels are with them as well, participating in the worship, watching the worship. Obviously, angels are spiritual beings, and you can't see the angels, though I do know some people who've sometimes seen angels when it's been a time of people gathering together to worship God, and sometimes God gives us glimpses of that spiritual heavenly realm and what's going on. So it was the idea that angels would be gathering also and worshiping together with them. So whether Paul was saying, we need to make sure that we're acting in a holy way and a respectful way because the angels are amongst us as well. That's possibly what he's saying. And that a woman ought to have authority over... Now he talks about woman having authority over her own head, which gets even more complicated. But maybe he's saying a woman can choose then. She should be able to choose out of whether she responds to what he's been teaching, whether she responds and decides to cover her head or not. But like I said, that verse is a very strange verse that people really don't understand. Do you think the Corinthians got this letter from Paul? I sometimes think, like, were they there going, what is he on about now? Did they understand it, or were they going, this is a little bit of a tricky point here, we'll have to ask him about this next time we see him? I don't know. Probably they were, I think. Okay. The other thing that he talks about is that the genders are not independent from each other, but the genders are interdependent. So it's almost like he's saying all this stuff, and then he says, oh, wait a minute, just in case they decide that I'm saying men are really much more important than women and women have to do what men say, then I'm going to add this bit in as well. Nevertheless, in the Lord, a woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman, but everything comes from God. So we need each other. We are interdependent. We can't be independent of each other. We can be independent. We can be single. We don't have to be married for that to be true. But everybody was born from a woman. And within the congregation, within the people of God, then we need each other, just as we need each other. We need all different types of personalities. We need men, we need women, we need children, we need a whole mixture of us to be coming together, to be really seeing the whole image of God being revealed and God's kingdom coming. So Tom Wright, he also points out that this passage shows that in worship, it's important for both men and women to be their truly created selves, to honour God by being who they were created to be and not blurring the lines by pretending to be somebody else. Women didn't have to act like men to be able to minister. They could minister as women. And I think it's a really important point as well, that within that idea of we don't have to pretend to be somebody else or something we're not to be able to minister. But God wants us to be who he created us to be. And that comes with all of our different gifts and abilities as well as our different genders. So, yeah. Right, very briefly, because this was the title of the talk, even though I haven't really talked about it very much. It was only there a little bit in the passage. Women in ministry. Let's move on to women in ministry. This is going to be very short, okay? There's one passage which is very radical, really, in this, that talks about women in ministry. Can we have... yes, that's the one. Paul says, every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It's the same as having her head shaved. Oh, I forgot to talk about shaved heads, but we'll talk about that another day. All right. Paul presumes in this verse that women in the church will be praying and will be prophesying, just as men will be praying and will be prophesying. The word for prophesy here is not just like the gift of prophecy, where if you receive a word from the Lord, a prophetic word, you will speak it out. It also gives the idea of teaching and preaching. So Paul presumes that women will be involved in ministry in the church when the church gathers together. And that was really very, very radical, because obviously as Jews, then women were not involved in leading ministry and involved in ministry. So Paul presumes that women will be involved in ministry, and he has not got a problem with that as long as they do it in a way that is fitting. So that's all I have to say about that for now. There's lots of other passages. We'll be coming across some other passages about that as well. Yeah. So, what do we learn from our passage today? We've been through it. Sorry, it's been a bit long, but there were some complicated things and wanted to look at them a little bit and grapple with them a little bit. So, we need to be humble when we come together to worship. We have freedom in Christ, but we need to use that freedom wisely and in love. We need to minister as the people we truly are and the people who God created us to be. And we need each other. I think wives, try not to act in ways which undermine your husbands or are disrespectful to them. And husbands, try to support your wives in their ministry. And for people who are not married, you need to be who God has made you to be and submit to Christ. Being aware of other people in the congregation as well. So let's make sure that we at New Hope are the body of Christ, and let us, as the body of Christ, submit to Christ, who is our amazing and beautiful head. Amen.
Thanks, Jackie, for taking us through that really tricky passage and shedding some light on it for us. Let's pray.